Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
A light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Makris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Makris.
Then I go to my
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and I am actually on Block Island today and have been on Martha's Vineyard this weekend and had the great pleasure of working with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance and some wonderful folks out there to help promote Lyme disease awareness and fundraising. And I had some great interviews that you are going to hear now on WBLQ. So let's get started with John Donnelly, who is biking across America for Lyme disease awareness.
This is Katina Makris, Limelight Radio, and I am delighted to be on Martha's Vineyard with John Donnelly, 24-year-old advocate for Lyme disease, who's partnered with Tick-Borne Disease Alliance for a wonderful cause, Bite Back for the Cure, and he's cycling across America to raise attention for Lyme disease awareness. So welcome, John. It's really a pleasure to meet you.
Katina, thank you so much for having me on the show and for that warm introduction. It's great to be here.
That's great. Well, I can see that you are a survivor and you've fought through this illness for a number of years. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am. I mean, this is an illness that hits real close to home for me. Both of my parents, my younger sister, and now as of just a few weeks ago, actually, my aunt have all suffered with Lyme disease. So this is a project that's been evolving for several months, and it's something I feel very passionate about. And it's really cool to see it all happening today. And we just had such a good ride and are getting such good support.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, it's shocking, I think, for America to be waking up to realize that this infectious illness that people thought was just very small and localized to the shores of Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, just actually all over the country and all over the world. And I think this platform of yours on your bike, heading across all our states, including the Rocky Mountains, to bring awareness, very noble cause, and I'm proud of you.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what this campaign and this journey is all about, to say, hey, this is something that's happening across the country. And this is going to be kicked off in late September in California, and I'll be ending in early December in Washington, D.C.
Wow. You know, I was wondering about that. So you're going to be starting on the West Coast in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, yeah.
And approximately how many miles per day do you think you're going to achieve?
It's going to be, we're shooting for 100 miles a day.
Awesome.
Which is ambitious.
Yeah, very.
But I've been training for 4 months now, and I'm feeling very healthy, the healthiest I have in a very long time. And obviously there's going to be rest days, because this is really about meeting and speaking with patients along the way. So on those days, I'm going to be entirely with them, you know, not on the bike. So I'll have time to rest, but it's certainly going to be a challenge.
It's going to be definitely hard work, but you know what you know about hard work, because how many years did you battle Lyme disease?
Right. I've got a pretty long-standing history with this illness. I was officially diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2003 when I was 13 years old, but I'd been suffering with pretty significant health issues since I was 9. So doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. I was misdiagnosed with other sicknesses, sent to different specialists, and then after 4 years, you know, kind of told to get over my symptoms. And it wasn't until half of my face went paralyzed that they realized, you know, I think this might be Lyme. Mm. Test came back positive. I was treated with 3 weeks of antibiotics, which many people believe is a way to get rid of it forever. My family found out, as many families across the country do, that it's not very straightforward treating a tick-borne disease. So this is something that came back when I was in college. And I still couldn't put my finger on it. And after, you know, about a year and a half of experiencing bizarre symptoms, I found out I had a second bout.
Second bout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is something that we are realizing the hard way, really through the past 30, 40 years, that this illness can take many forms. And you're lucky if you get diagnosed and treated aggressively in the early weeks. But if not, like your case and my story too, it can go on for years and years and years. So I'm really excited because we're going to be speaking with you every week of your trip across America. You're going to be checking in with us on Limelight Radio. It's going to be my privilege to hear your updates, the people you're meeting, the support groups you interface with, mm-hmm. What it's like in different regions of the country, what the awareness is like.
Right.
So thank you, John, for partnering with me and Limelight Radio, and we're going to do some great work together and help educate the country on just what's going on. So you're a voice that I'm really proud to work with.
Well, thank you so much. That's really what this is. It's about making connections, developing relationships, listening to people's stories, and then sharing those stories in a far-reaching way. And that's something you're providing here, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
And back to you, Katina.
So thank you, John Donnelly and Tick-Borne Disease Alliance. We are very excited to keep abreast of John and his journey. Please connect with us every Wednesday and follow him over the next months as he travels across America. And now we are going to take a station break. And when we come back, we have an amazing researcher, Dr. Alcott, who's going to tell us on some cutting edge.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Are you interested in learning about how to add more eco-conscious living into your life? Amy Tuwillis, broker and owner of Rhino Roz Realty, is dedicated to helping people buy and sell healthy homes. She strives to educate people on incorporating more green features into your environment. Rhino Roz Realty wants to be a resource before, during, and after a transaction. Whether someone is buying or selling a single-family home, multifamily, condo, or investment property, Rhino Roz can provide the service and knowledge that is needed to make informed decisions. For a free market analysis or more information about greening your home, contact Amy at rhinoroz.com, R-H-I-N-O-R-O-Z.com, or call 206-508-1250. Rhino Roz Realty, charging on your behalf in the Northwest.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at AliveAndShineShow.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Limelight Radio with Katina. Today we have a wonderful guest with us, Dr. John Aucott, who is a research doctor who I believe is doing some really wonderful cutting edge investigation into the Lyme disease situation and helping us find better diagnostic tools. So welcome, Dr. Aucott. It's great to be here with you.
Thanks for having me, Katina.
Yeah. So Limelight Radio, as you know, is devoted to creating dialogue amongst our listeners and the Lyme community to learn more and to share information and to hopefully make some advances in this illness that has crippled so much of our population. So I'd love to learn about the work you're doing and the studies. Could you fill us in?
Sure. So I'm a MD. I'm a clinical doctor who is involved in clinical research. And many people don't understand exactly what clinical research is. It's actually the bridge between patients that are ill and research scientists and laboratories. What I do is bring patients that are suffering from Lyme disease and try to understand their illness by connecting them to our finest research tools and institutions. So I'm a clinical researcher, and we have a study that we set up to try to understand better Lyme disease. It's called the SLICE study. And the SLICE study is designed to learn important information about Lyme disease so we can find better diagnostic tests, better measurement tools to monitor illness, and finally, of course, in the final analysis, to come up with better therapies to help patients that don't get better
in the long run. So what does SLICE actually stand for?
It's the study of Lyme disease, the immunologic events and long-term outcomes, and it's two things. It's to see how people's health and immune system is affected by having Lyme disease. And what's unique about the study, it's the first study really in the United States that's focused on long-term outcomes of Lyme disease, but starts at the beginning. So we think it's very important that to understand long-term outcomes, 6 months, a year, 2 years later, that you start at the beginning. So our study really identifies patients at the very, very earliest stage of Lyme disease. All the patients in the study have a rash lesion. And at the time of the rash, they're entered into the study. They're treated, of course, but then followed meticulously for 2 years to evaluate how they respond and recover from the Lyme disease and what impact the Lyme disease has on their immune system and their health.
Okay. So you are going ahead and selecting people that have the rash, the bullseye rash.
Correct.
That is characteristic of the Borrelia burgdorferi infection.
Correct.
Because that is one of the key markers, frankly, acknowledging an infection in somebody's system.
Correct. It's not the only marker. I'm sure many of your listeners know that not everyone gets the rash. So we're very much aware that not everyone gets the rash. And frankly, most of the rashes aren't bullseyes, actually. They're
yes.
uniformly red and round and often misdiagnosed as spider bites mm-hmm. or other bug bites. But that round or oval red skin lesion or rash When it occurs, it's a very good marker that the patient is acutely infected with Borrelia. In other words, they've only been infected for a week or two or three if they still have that round red rash. It's the initial sign of the infection at the site of the tick bite.
Okay.
So what it does for our study is it puts everyone at the beginning at the same time point. We want to understand what's happening later, but if you enrolled patients later, some would be ill 6 months, some would be ill a year, some would be ill 5 years. You'd have a heterogeneous population of study patients. We want to understand the events, and we want them all synchronized so that everyone's at the same stage, because we're doing the follow-up visits a month after treatment, 2 months after treatment, and we want everyone in the same time sequence, mm-hmm. because that powers the study to find differences. Our study is the first study also to include controls. So we're also following people without Lyme disease, because you can't tell what's unique to the Lyme patients unless you have a non-infected control. We're the first group to ever include controls in these long-term outcome studies looking at the chronic illness.
That's very interesting. So how many people right now would you say that you have in your study program?
So we have over 120 patients that we followed. The duration is 2 years, and over 120. And this really makes us, again, one of the larger studies in the United States, and really the only one that's really focused on these, what's important to your listeners, the long-term outcomes. I always tell people that, you know, the rash goes away. Frankly, the rash goes away even without treatment. That's not what's so important. What people want is their health restored. They want the fatigued and the pain to end. And those are the kind of outcomes that we monitor over 2 years. Things like fatigue, joint pain, cognitive complaints, all those kind of symptoms that the patients are experiencing and tell us about. But right now, we don't have good blood markers
right.
to understand what's causing those. That's what we're all about. At those seven visits that we see the patients at over 2 years, we draw blood every time. So we have what's called a biorepository. It's basically a minus 70 degree freezer that contains right now over 800 blood samples from the patients. These are the critical tools that our collaborators need. Our collaborators are mostly PhD scientists. They desperately need those blood samples to develop the better diagnostic tests, to develop the better measurement tools. You can't do that without blood from patients with Lyme disease.
Exactly.
There's a lot of research going on in mice and in test tubes. That's great. Those lay the fundamental principles of research. But in the final analysis, we don't want to know how to cure a mouse. We want to know how to cure my patients or humans. So you have to have human blood samples from human studies to allow these basic researchers to discover the new, better diagnostic tests that we need.
Definitely. So I'm thinking of two things in my mind. One is, quickly, your control group. Mm-hmm. How many people are in the control group?
So we have about 35, 40 controls. It's harder, frankly, to find controls in patients because the controls do it purely out of altruism, and they're not sick. So they're coming in just to help the study, and we follow those controls for 2 years as well, and they donate the same number of blood samples. And what's really interesting is controls have fatigue and pain too.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do they get symptoms of sorts?
Of course, because you know, if you walk down the street and ask the next 10 people you see, are they tired at the end of the day? You know, a lot of them are going to be tired.
Or they have headaches.
Exactly. And so you can't distinguish the symptoms in the Lyme patients accurately unless you have controls to compare them to. And we're actually finding that there's a fair amount of fatigue in the non-Lyme controls.
In the average American.
So unless you do these studies meticulously and use validated instruments that quantify the levels of fatigue, you will miss these differences. Because if you just ask somebody, are you tired, you're not going to see that much difference between the Lyme patients and the controls. It's more a matter of degree, and it's more a matter of quantifying it on specific patient instruments that are designed to do that.
Right. And so, like, as you know, I was seriously afflicted with Lyme disease.
Devastating.
And devastatingly, one of those individuals that couldn't get out of bed without help and couldn't, you know, dress without help or even walk, you know, across the room without assistance. Mm-hmm. That kind of fatigue is the kind of fatigue that you are looking into your study.
Yeah, and what that kind of fatigue does is what you just described. It alters life functioning dramatically. So we also do scales to look at how is the health-related function of life going. In other words, are people participating in work, participating in social activities? The scale is called an SF-36, and it measures the impact of those symptoms like fatigue on function. So somebody with the kind of fatigue you were describing, their function would be 3 standard deviations below the mean. They would be off the scale for function. And that validates that the fatigue isn't just the hum of general fatigue in the population. This is a profound fatigue that impacts people's lives.
Yeah, incapacitated.
Yeah, their function's gone. They lose the ability to participate in work and social activities and recreational activities.
Right. I remember one person at one point said to me, "You're an invalid."
Correct.
And I was shocked when someone said I was an invalid, because when I thought about the word, it also spells invalid.
Oh, my.
And emotionally, that was a real blow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard enough to fight the illness, but to recognize that being an invalid has this emotional context to it. So, I mean, the study that you're doing, besides the science that we need, it's really a step for recognition of how debilitating Lyme disease really can be for people.
And the, you know, one of the special parts of the study design, all the patients with the Lyme disease have to have been previously high functioning, healthy people like you were.
Yeah.
And so again, this isn't just people that were already, you know, suffering from some illness or that had fatigue before the Lyme. Our study design excludes all of those people. So
excellent.
To be in the study, there can be no prior history of an illness that would cause fatigue or pain. So we're seeing somebody who's a high functioning person go to a low functioning person.
Right. Yeah. So for people that don't know my story, I could add just now to share with you all that are listening is that I was the epitome of health. Hiking, canoeing, camping, chopping wood for my wood stove, you know, weeding huge gardens, you know, running, you know, a very busy life with 2 offices and writing a health column and the picture of health. Never really an antibiotic except once every 5 years. So to go from that to in 1 week's time be incapacitated and not even able to make a sandwich.
That's right.
I understand you're looking at that kind of radical transformation in an individual.
So we are going to take a little break here with Dr. Alcott's interview. And I want to fill you folks in on a wonderful event this past Sunday on Martha's Vineyard. It was a chock-full day from early in the morning until the evening. Tick-Borne Disease Alliance and the Martha's Vineyard Lyme Center partnered to bring a lot of attention and awareness to Lyme disease to this severely stricken island and surrounding communities. And John Donnelly, who we met earlier, is on his trek across the America country to raise awareness. And it was really a wonderful day. Myself, I gave a speak at the church in Chilmark, helping people understand that you can recover from this illness. I am a living example of someone who was bedridden for 2 years, undiagnosed for 5, and went through 5 years of integrative medicine treatment to recover my life fully. And for those of you who know of me and my book, Out of the Woods, Healing Lyme Disease, Body, Mind, and Spirit, I am on the country speaking in all different areas, bringing people hope and inspiration that you too can recover. And this is going to take more than one approach to beat the infection. Antibiotic therapy may be a player for you. Herbal treatments may be a player for you. Restorative, nutritional, and naturopathic medicine, acupuncture, etc. We are looking at all different avenues to see how people can reclaim their lives. And I am passionate, as you know, and proud to be your host on Limelight Radio each week, bringing on individuals involved with the Lyme story. We will have doctors, patients, advocates, hotline hosts, and more. So the event on Martha's Vineyard was stunning. We had a kind of confluence of people from all different pieces of the spectrum on Lyme disease there together on a sterling day and a sterling night. And this interview with John Alcott, I taped on the Vineyard, and there's more to come. We'll have him back on the show again at a later date. But let's tune in again. We're getting ready to hear the second part of this interview from Martha's Vineyard with John Alcott's research. It's very interesting and timely. It's what we need if we're going to crack the code on this illness, which triggers so many autoimmune-style illnesses in individuals. So please listen in again, folks. We're going to have a commercial break here, and then we'll be back with Dr. Alcott.
7A.
What number is this, Chip?
7A.
Okay, not me. Don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world, with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
My other question I'm thinking of in your people that you are using for studies, are they throughout the country that you're collecting the blood, or are you in particular region that you're looking into?
So at this point, we're a regional study in the Mid-Atlantic, really mostly Maryland, a little bit of Pennsylvania. So we're starting as a regional study. Our mission and our plan is to spread this type of study among a network across the United States, because there are geographic differences potentially in tick-borne illness that may be slightly different in the Northeast where we are now versus the West Coast versus the Upper Midwest. And so we think it's very important to take our model and to expand it and then to have collaborative networks of other institutions throughout the country. That's really the way to crack this nut, is to have multiple sites collaborating in a network. That increases the power of the study because you get more participants, and it provides that geographic diversity that's so important.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about that as you're speaking, and I, having visited many different regions of the country with my book Out of the Woods, Out on the Road and Speaking, mm-hmm. I've been in Southern California and up in the Pacific Northwest and down to North Carolina, mm-hmm. and of course throughout New England and even Florida. So what? I'm thinking, gosh, are there different strains? Would they cause subtleties and symptoms, or, you know, or is there just truly a classic set of maybe 10, you know, universal symptoms throughout?
No, you know, when you go to medical school, there's an old saying, you know, there's the textbook case of this, which implies there's a lot of cases that aren't the textbook case. In other words, biologic variability is huge. We teach medical students the textbook appearance of an illness like Lyme disease, but nature is diverse and biology throws you curveballs all the time. So patients don't read the textbook. Their illness is what their illness is.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm wondering, because as you know, I come from the world of natural medicine, and we recognize that individuals in from natural medicine have particular constitutional strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I'm wondering if this study that you're doing, your SLICE study, would that eventually key into why some individuals really suffer so tragically, and some maybe just get a mild case with headaches and, you know, a stiff neck, and 2 weeks later they bounce out of it.
Correct. So we have two areas that dovetail with that. One, the key feature we look at is immune response. So we're very, very keyed in on different types of immune response, and we think that's probably really important, that one immune response may be beneficial and help cure the illness, and another immune response may actually be detrimental and cause excessive inflammation or dysregulated inflammation. So one thing we think is very important is immune response. The other thing, I work with a neuropsychologist, and what she helps us key in on is patients' coping strategies. And so we do gather instruments that ask patients about how they cope with illness. And so we are very interested in that, because some people have constructive coping patterns and other people may not. And that is certainly going to be an important variable to who recovers or how fast people recover. So both what would be considered biologic variables like immune response, but also behavioral variables like coping strategies. We also look at whether people have had prior life events that might prime them for, you know, almost a post-traumatic stress disorder type response. So we have those types of things built into the study. It's a meticulous study. At each of these 7 visits, the patients fill out about 20 or 30 minutes worth of interview forms. And then we do in-person interviews. We do neurocognitive testing. We're trying to know everything about the patient and then link it to the blood samples that we have so that we can find those blood biomarkers that correlate with the symptoms.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's great. You're really taking it at multi-levels. I should say multi-slices very clever.
Now you got it, yes.
Because, true. I'm imagining some people, for whatever reason, whether, as we said, it's genetic predisposition or prior occurrences in their life, mm-hmm. why does that immune response really go into this overdrive status? Yeah. And then, is it true we get crossover to what some people call autoimmune illness?
There's a long tradition of infections being potential triggers for autoimmune illnesses. So that's a known kind of paradigm in medicine, that certain infections may trigger autoimmune type illnesses. And so that's why it becomes a complex illness, because you have an infection initially that is often treated with antibiotics, but people don't always get better. And is that second phase more of an autoimmune illness at that point, or some combination? That's the complexity that we're dealing with.
That is truly the complexity. Mm-hmm. And we meet people, I do all the time, that said, oh, yeah, I took the 4 weeks of doxycycline and I was fine.
Exactly.
And then I meet other people and they're like, no, I had 12 weeks of it and I'm still sick.
That's right. So, you know, people are diverse. My partner, who's a PhD who deals with mice, loves to kid me. And he says, humans are so complicated. Can't we do this in mice where their genetics are all the same? You know, because in mice models, you know, things are more uniform because they're inbred and have the same genetics. People aren't that way. And that's why we desperately need to do this research in humans, because it's more complex, but we have to understand the complexity or we aren't going to crack this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's really fascinating that you're delving into the function and the diversification of humans, and not just this kind of traditional mindset that, oh, you have this infection and then X, Y, and Z happens. You're taking into consideration what we really call the human factor.
Correct.
Yeah, so really.
Yeah, we really have a multidisciplinary team. We have neuropsychologists, immunologists. I'm an infectious disease doctor. It's a team built around the entire kind of illness process and the human's response to being ill, the way they express it and the way it comes through their lens of their own life history.
True, because some people, they'll just tough it out and they're just going to push through and they're going to be, you know, filled with arthritic pains, but they're just going to keep lumbering along. And then people, it hits a digestive tract and they're a wreck and they're all worried and nervous about going out to eat and what could happen. And then they're fatigued and dizzy and their nervous system might go into, you know, a state of anxiety.
Yeah. So each individual patient needs a physician that understands their unique position, where they've come from, and what their specific circumstances are.
Yeah. So now, and down to practical level, I'm wondering, how are you funding this program? Right.
So we actually formed a foundation, the Lyme Disease Research Foundation, and we've been funded through gifts and philanthropy through the foundation. Our website is LymeMD.org, and we are through the contributions of individuals, we are funded currently. We think that we've basically are at the stage of showing that our clinical research is important and works. We have multiple publications that have already been instrumental in moving the field forward. We've published with collaborators. We're a very collaborative group, so we work with other institutions across the country. And right now, I would say it's through donations.
Yeah, so we need to help you get donations, right? We want to keep these studies going and expand them.
We desperately need to expand them. Unfortunately, as your listeners probably know, you know, the NIH budget is part of the federal government budget, and so it's a tough environment for getting funding right now from NIH. And so we desperately need to expand the research, but it, like all good things, requires resources, and that's what we've been dependent on and will likely continue to be dependent
on. Yes. Yeah. And someone had told me, I heard, actually, I think it was last night at dinner, some statistic about how much money the government is able to give to HIV/AIDS research and how much we have been allocated for Lyme disease research. Do you remember those figures?
Yeah, I mean, Lyme disease is, in essence, almost an orphan disease. Its funding levels are in the tens of millions of dollars. And I'm not saying that Lyme disease is exactly like HIV/AIDS. They're obviously different, but the funding levels for HIV/AIDS are in the billions of dollars. So tens of millions versus billions. Probably Lyme disease needs to be up a little bit.
Yeah, to the hundreds of millions. And then we could make some really great progress.
Yeah. And those are typical funding levels that, you know, NIH would allocate to a major illness of this importance.
Yes, and I think, you know, I'm very delighted and proud, I should say, that we have Limelight Radio.
Absolutely.
It's a great stepping stone to create awareness and bring attention throughout the country that this illness really is not just an illness on the East Coast, and it's not just confined to people that happen to just be out camping or in the thick of the woods, but you could pick up a tick in your own backyard.
Most Lyme disease is transmitted in people's you know, backyard when they're gardening or playing in their backyard. It's an insidious worldwide epidemic, really. It's just not just the United States. It's not just North America. It's worldwide, and you know, it's growing.
It's growing. I know it's growing. And migratory birds, their flyways up over, you know, Canada and Greenland into Scandinavia. I get emails from people up that region in Norway that they're getting bullseye rashes just out on regular picnics. So it's everywhere. So if people are at all interested in learning more about your slice study, mm-hmm. is there a way for them to get information?
Yeah. So LymeMD.org, and there's information there on prevention, on pictures of rashes, so people can learn about early detection and other resources at LymeMD.org.
LymeMD.org. And of course, if we have anybody that wants to donate and help fund this wonderful program, that's where they should go.
Yes, and there's contact information there for Nancy Dougherty, who's involved with the foundation, and her contact information is there.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you for being
thank
with
you.
Us and
wonderful.
For sharing this.
Yes.
It's very, very important work, and what we've been waiting for, I think, we're long overdue. It's really decades, I think, that this illness has been kind of slipping under the radar.
This is the time. We're at the time now where we need to apply the latest and greatest science to this problem, because we can figure it out. It's just a matter of getting the resources together to do this critically needed research.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you, John,
thank
for coming.
You.
Great
Thanks.
To
this
see you and meet you and share with you.
Thank you for all your time.
Do you ever wonder why you feel off balance and out of focus most of your life? Would you like to have an aha moment every day? The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, will empower you to feel wonderment every moment of every day. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged. Get ready to restore and maintain your wholeness, mind, body, and spirit through learning the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. Your new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. This call-in show with wholeness coach Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics, from nutrition to lifestyle choices to manifesting your wildest dreams. Tune in Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com. We'll be right back.
Hi there. This is Katina Macris, and we are back live on Limelight Radio, broadcasting from WBLQ on Transformation Talk Radio. And I have with me now a live guest, Nancy Dougherty, who heads up the development efforts for the Lyme Disease Research Foundation, founded by Dr. John Alcott, who we just heard that wonderful interview with at Johns Hopkins, doing clinical research for Lyme. And Nancy has worked since the 1980s and 90s in biotechnology and pharmaceutical analysis. And currently, she is applying her objectives and analytical seasoned problem-solving skills to the Lyme disease universe and is really out there helping Dr. Alcott get his work funded and helping us all learn more about tick-borne illness. So welcome, Nancy, to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Kim. And I'm excited to be here. Earlier this week, as many of you probably heard, at the International Conference on Lyme Disease and Other Tick-Borne Diseases here in Boston, the CDC announced that the number of Americans diagnosed with Lyme disease each year has been revised upward to around 300,000, which represents a tenfold increase in incidence from the 30,000 that the CDC had previously been reported. Now, incidence is the number of new infections that occur during a given year, and this 300,000 incidence is what Lyme advocates like you and me and many others have been saying for years as a minimum incidence level, and it's also what published studies have indicated. So it's very good to have the CDC on board with this magnitude of an increase that better reflects the significance and the burden of the epidemic. And mind you, I believe the numbers will likely increase from here and that this is just the beginning. The CDC says Lyme disease does not occur nationwide. It is heavily in the Northeast and the Upper Midwest. I agree with that. But it is nationwide. We know that it's in Northern California. We know it's in North Carolina and Florida. There's a lot of misdiagnosis, and the reporting is significantly underreported. So stay tuned as those numbers probably will evolve upward, and that's my opinion. What this indicates and the significance of it is that it really underscores that this is a tremendous public health problem in the United States. And these increased numbers are going to lead to better awareness, and they will also lead to better awareness for prevention and earlier treatment. So that's the positive that's going to come out of it. It's also going to hopefully inspire more interest in and more funding for tick-borne disease research, and in particular, clinical research and biorepository formation, such as the work that Dr. Alcott is doing. So there is benefit that will come. And hopefully this work will, with collaborators, will work to develop a better diagnostic. To put this in perspective, in 2011, Lyme disease was the sixth most commonly nationally notifiable disease in the U.S. A disease such as AIDS has about approximately 50,000 people in the U.S. that are newly infected each year. With this new revision, Lyme jumps right up to number three position, pretty much in line with gonorrhea, which has 321,000 new cases per year. And number one is chlamydia at 1.4 million. So basically, this CDC revision puts Lyme disease in the limelight, literally.
Really?
So your show really is timely.
Yeah, it's definitely timely. I think those of us who have been involved in the Lyme disease awareness movement over the past 5-10 years have been frustrated because the average American physician is probably, what I say, driving in the dark. They have patients that are coming into their office with symptoms of Lyme disease, and because they're looking at testing that's inaccurate and also a symptom picture that has been defined as a very short-term infectious illness, they don't even know they're looking at a Lyme case right there in front of their eyes. So for the CDC now to put this new figure out, like you said, is really going to help the average American doctor wake up too and start to be a little bit more alert and say, hey, maybe I need some more education on this topic as well.
Exactly. I think the awareness, the education, the funding for research, and also the recognition that it's a geographically worldwide epidemic. It is not just in the U.S. We can argue over which states exactly are implicated, but this is worldwide, and it comes back to the International Lung Conference taking place this week in Boston, where we have representation of the leading scientists on Lyme disease research from around the world, and it includes many countries in Europe, Asia, Canada, Mexico, and Russia and China are involved, and it's in those countries. And just to do a comparison to the AIDS crisis, back in 1984 when AIDS was first documented in terms of surveillance numbers, the numbers were only 5,000 cases, and AIDS peaked in the U.S. at 103,000 cases in 93. And from the late 90s to the present, it's been about 40 to 50,000 cases per year in the U.S. And now we're comparing that to, say, 300,000 cases
wow.
of Lyme disease in the U.S. Now, worldwide, the AIDS crisis is an international crisis. There's 2.5 million new cases worldwide each year around the world, and there's 34 million people living with HIV around the world. And we have better documentation of HIV than we do for Lyme disease because the diagnostics presently for Lyme disease are so bad. But you have to imagine that if we have 300,000 cases in the U.S. alone, that there are millions of cases around the world. And so this is an epidemic that the world needs to pay attention to and that we need to put resources towards solving. And right now, Lyme disease only gets about $25 million of an allocation from the NIH, and that compares to the $3 billion that HIV-AIDS gets. And so that discrepancy is too great, and I believe there will be pressure on the government to increase their funding, and hopefully they will.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the figures that you just have given to us, I mean, that really illuminates how crystal clear how this illness is exploding. I mean, we're talking about exploding. It's not just creeping into people's backyards anymore. It's surpassed HIV in a huge way, and the high-risk group is all of us. I mean, it's people going out, you know, retrieving a soccer ball from a grassy meadow or a child, you know, playing in the backyard. I mean, we are all at risk. So, yes, more prevention, more diagnostics, awareness, doctors learning more, and individuals, you know, need to be heads up about ticks and the regions they are visiting, right?
Absolutely. It really, you travel around the world, you can get this from numerous locations. And then if you go back to a place where it's not as prevalent and the doctors are not educated and aware, you could be in trouble. So it really goes back into medical school training, too, that there has to be some training done early on so doctors, when they get out there and treat patients, they have the tools, and the tools of awareness and education and also diagnostics, which hopefully will come.
Yes. Well, I'm feeling positive. I think this announcement by the CDC is very critical for all of us, and as you said, hopefully it's going to put pressure in the right directions and help things happen for the better for all of us so we can stop this epidemic. We're running out of time. It's been fantastic to have you on, Nancy. Thank you for giving us this latest cutting-edge breaking news, really, about Lyme disease and these figures and your wealth of knowledge, and keep working hard with Dr. Alcott. I'm impressed with you both.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for all you're doing for Lyme disease.
You're most welcome. It's my honor. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening today. We are going to have advanced cellular training on with us next week. Gary Blyer, he is a fascinating man.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother. And I say, brother.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Some talk radio networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low, without regard for another's journey. They focus on the problem and not the solution. Other networks tune in to the highest vibration possible to help us live life full out.
I'm Chris Stanis.
To help us stand in our yes.
I'm Sue London.
And cultivate a platform for positive change.
I'm Karen Hager.
These networks don't come often.
I'm CJ Liu.
But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve anything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned with bombarding us with bad news.
And they hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned with sensationalizing an individual's setbacks or challenges.
Powerful, inspiring.
These networks focus on amazing, innovative broadcasting.
You can learn a lot.
They provide a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent educational information.
Everyone's a team player.
These networks are tailored for an empowered, active, and diverse radio listening audience.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
They help us rise up.
True empowerment.
Create a strong foundation so we can stand powerfully in our yes.
Epic social change.
They invite us to thrive, appreciate our lives, and create the amazement we call ourselves.
The urge to grow.
These innovative networks remind us that everything is possible.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
That nothing is limited. That our lives are much more than anything our minds would have us to believe.
Let us inspire you.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives and live in the moment of every breath we take. Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Won't you join Transformation Talk Radio? And let's change the world together. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.